What is going on, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome to another episode of The War Room here on a Tuesday night. This will probably be the last episode that we do in this house. As you can see, it is bare. It is as bare as the right that we have on the Second Amendment of the Bill of Rights, if we really want to get into it. It's as bare as that in here. With me tonight, as always, is my co-host to the right, Mr. Trevor Trude. How you doing, sir?
Tuesday. I'm doing good.
I see you have your shoes that don't require any lacing.
Yes, they're nice and comfy. They're getting a little wore out, though. I wear out a fucking pair of shoes like nobody's business, buddy. I've had these for about 3 months, and I already need new ones because the back ones are fucking wore out. But other than that, I'm doing pretty good. My fucking wisdom tooth taken out the other day, so I'm able to talk and not be in pain.
That's another reason why we haven't done an episode pretty much in the last week. I've had too much packing to do. Trevor's had a fucking wisdom tooth taken out, and it sounds like they just yanked it out.
They did.
With a rusty fucking pair of pliers.
Cut the bone.
Because he's literally like, it's going to take me 4 days to recover. And I was like, all right, dude. Well,
yeah, it wasn't that bad, but it was... I didn't talk a couple days.
Did they cut it out or did they pull it?
Oh, they had to cut the bone and then cut my gums and then break it in half and then fucking pull that bitch out.
Did you feel any of it?
No, I just felt a shitload of pressure.
That's the worst.
Yeah, because you're just like...
You know it's going to suck.
And also, like, for some reason, I just have the most uncontrollable tongue of all time. So, like, they're fucking, like, move your tongue. And I'm like, I'm trying to hold my tongue over here, but I can't control it. Like, you're fucking all up in my mouth right now. I don't know what's going on with my tongue. I can't control it.
So they literally have to
fucking use one of those utensils to, like the fucking dentist is like, hey, yeah. Use that utensil and pull his tongue over to the side.
I mean, I'm pretty sure they used to just stick your tongue with a numbing needle.
I was literally...
Your tongue would just, like, stay still. But I'm like, what'd you think? Because me, if my tongue was numb, I'd probably be like...
Oh, yeah.
I'm trying to make sure it was there.
Well, I was... And, like, in the middle of that, I'm sitting there thinking, man, imagine fucking getting dental work done, like, 200 years ago.
Oh, my God. Not even that long ago.
Fucking just punched in the...
Go to the early 1900s, late 1800s. Like I said, rusty pliers. There's no sanitizing. There ain't no
nothing.
Imagine
you die because you went to the dentist.
There's no washing their hands. Anyway, with us tonight is also...
the guy
our guest
misinformation.
Fake news.
Our secondhand information correspondent, Luke Dean, is with us again tonight.
Glad to be back. Always a pleasure to be here on the show.
We love having you
on. He's the KTP lawyer.
He is. apparently, Luke's got a degree in criminal justice. And so if we ever get sued or, you know, accused,
misinformation,
you know, Luke's the guy to have on your side.
He's not a good lawyer, he's an affordable lawyer.
He's literally the Trailer Park Boys lawyer because he gets us into trouble by saying misinformation. And he goes, well, I'll defend you, though, for $5,000.
Here's the problem. The person that you're going against also wants me to defend him, so, you know. But, like, yeah.
A little bit more dough, and we can, you know, get the money going.
It's not about being a good lawyer. It's about being inexpensive.
But I'll cut you a deal. Half price. For the both of you.
Where'd you go to school? 1998. Where? Out of state.
Kansas. We're in Kansas. Ah. It's Kansas University.
No, I...
Man, there were a lot of homeless people in Lawrence, Kansas when I went there.
How long ago did you go?
Probably like 5 years, honestly.
I went last November.
And I was like... I mean, being from a city, you expect there to be homelessness and stuff like that. But I did not expect Lawrence, Kansas. But then it is kind of in between Colorado, and I noticed it like that corridor. What's the
Lawrence
highway?
Is on the eastern part of Kansas. It's closer.
It is.
It's closer to Kansas. I mean, Missouri than it is to Colorado.
But
it's on.
What I noticed back then, when if you were coming from the west and like you were homeless, like it seemed like there's not a lot in between, like even the. East part
of
Colorado.
A bunch of fucking nothing.
There, I mean,
it's the trip to fucking Colorado.
If I was
going to
be a bum, I'd go to fucking Florida. At least you got better weather.
Salina, Kansas has a really good barbecue spot, though.
I've heard actually good things about Salina, Kansas. Have you had concerts there? For some reason?
I've never heard anything other than you can't drive your semi there at certain times because the winds are too bad and they'll knock you over.
I don't know. I'm just saying I've seen a lot of it recently. Maybe it's popping now. I don't know.
I wish I could remember the name of that barbecue place. It was amazing.
Oh, well, don't worry. I'm sure it'll come to you. But anyway.
Welcome.
Welcome to the podcast. I went to Lawrence, Kansas. We went to the Grenada up there, and when I saw Dying Fetus play there, it was fucking awesome. I've
been in the Grenada also.
Yeah, it's an old movie theater. Yep. Place is fucking cool. I honestly, that was my first time ever going to Lawrence. And funny story about that. We bought tickets for that show, and I remember thinking, dude, it's in Lawrence, Kansas. I'll fucking get a hotel the day before. Who gives a fuck? Not realizing. And remember what I said? I saw him in November. So, like, November, it's a Friday night in Lawrence, Kansas. You know who else is in Lawrence, Kansas? The fucking Jayhawks. I didn't realize that they had a game the next day, and I think it was their homecoming.
Was it basketball or football?
Football. And Kansas was pretty good last year.
Oh, yeah, last year. I was thinking, like, well, back
the last 2 years, they've been pretty good.
Yeah, no, they have.
But, like, yeah, we were there before homecoming, the night before homecoming. I think we were just going to get a hotel room in the city. We ended up having to stay, like, 20 minutes outside of Lawrence because of that. But other than that, downtown Lawrence is actually pretty cool.
Their downtown was real cool. And they had a little brewery down there called Free State. And, man, that place was awesome. So.
I think I'm going back. I'm actually going to I'm going back to the Grenada in June. I'm going to see Death and Cryptopsy. I'm sure neither of you two fucking schmules.
Is the Toenail Funk? Are they playing there too?
Shut up, Trevor. Why don't you go watch another Coe Wetzel concert?
I might. Me and Luke might. Yeah, Luke went to the last one with
Luke. How many of you? How many times have you seen Coe Wetzel?
This will be my second time with Trevor.
It's like watching Godfather every single day of my life. I already know what's going to happen. How much music does he actually have?
He's putting out new music right now.
I can understand.
He's put out two new songs in the past 2 weeks.
Trevor sent me one of the new songs.
Trevor, you saw him like 6 times in a year.
No. I think most I've seen him in a year is maybe 3 times, but probably only 2. Because he usually comes in December. Or he used to come in like March, and then it would be like November.
Okay.
Tulsa, so, OKC.
Can you tell me what it is that makes you just like, I have to spend money on this again?
Because it's not, if you get the tickets in a good time, they're not stupid expensive.
He's not price gouging people?
No.
Because, like, that's my big beef with seeing all these country guys is like, dude, listen, I'm going to tell you right now.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm going to be and I'm being honest, I'm not being funny. I think Tyler Childers is one of the best songwriters I've ever listened to in my life.
I like Tyler.
Songwriting, and I don't give a fuck about songwriting. And that's when I will say that about him. I think his music's great. I love his songwriting, all that. I would not pay $200 to see that.
That's what I'm saying. I understand.
I think the time to see him was before he got famous when he was playing.
Zach Bryan, same way.
Like, what are they doing that's worth that money? They're not, like, are they shooting fireworks off? Are they fucking, you know, cutting women in half?
I mean, I don't.
Would they be the most famous musicians that have murdered anybody?
If they did it on stage, absolutely.
Yeah, no, I don't know. I wouldn't.
Not in America, because I would definitely know about
it. I couldn't pay that money for fucking. It is insane. I mean, it is. Like, they're good and everything, but, like, here's the thing is I'm hoping some of those guys that are popular now, you know, they get popular and they'll have their long run, but maybe one day they'll be playing somewhere else and you can go see them when they're old. You know what I mean?
Because that music will sound good when they're older, too.
Yeah. First of all, Coulter Wall is going to always fit the part. Like, literally.
But what's cool about him is he'll play at, like, the Tulsa Theater at Cades, but he'll sell it out.
Oh, for sure.
I've never even had a chance to buy a ticket to see him because they sell out so quick. They added a second night at the Tulsa Theater this last time he was there, and they still sold out super quick. He's good.
Turnpike for Troubadour.
Well, I mean, even fucking.
See, I've seen them I've seen them 3 times, and I never paid more than $15 to see them. And then they come back, and they're going to say $200. And I don't blame them because it's not the artists. It's the fucking people. But, like.
Yeah, but.
Here's my thing. I looked at the Tyler Childers concert tickets, and I was like, all right, so this would be on par with what I paid to see the Eagles on their Hotel California anniversary tour where they played for 3.5 hours with no opener. And then the 2-day Metallica thing I went to.
Right.
That's what it would be on par with paying for. And I was like, it's not. There's just no way it's
maybe
worth it.
Maybe if he had been doing what he's doing for like 20 years consecutive. Maybe, you know what I'm saying? But he doesn't have the resume yet doesn't say that I should pay that. Because, like, the Eagles concert, I mean, that might be best concert I've ever been to for me. Because, I mean, it was just hit after hit. Who's singing? It's fucking, you don't even know. And everything was just great.
Well, but the thing is, like, a lot of the times, whenever you look at bands that are charging crazy, like, here's the thing about Metallica, they have a crazy stage show.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they have fucking 73 off. Trucks that they're bringing.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, okay, so I get it. They've been around for 40 years.
Yeah.
I get that. The Eagles, I mean, it's just like these guys, I mean, how much longer are they going to be alive? They've got 50 hits. They can play for 6 hours straight, probably play a little bit longer. They can do any of that. I get that. If you think I'm paying any... First of all, I wouldn't pay to see Morgan Wallen, but I hear some of the price tickets, the tickets prices for that, and I'm just like...
It's the same thing with, like...
To hear what? Overproduced bullshit?
Taylor That's what Swift. It
is. That is... She is the greatest robber. She's the biggest rob... Like, it's the robbery. Like, you're paying to see bullshit.
Yeah.
It's bullshit. Like, you know why? Because her biggest fan base are a bunch of 12-year-olds, and none of them pay for tickets.
Yeah.
Dragging well, their
then,
poor parents
and then they
along.
Just grow up to be fucking Taylor Swift fans who listen to it in their 20s.
There's nothing sadder. And like, listen, I don't like to hate on people, but like, that music's for 12-year-olds. There is music that is for fucking young, like, that's not young people music. That is like kid children's music.
It's all right. It's also all right to like the music.
It's for children.
It's a difference between like, yeah, this is a good song like that she has, but like I'm not gonna go pay an astronomical amount to fucking go watch it.
I've seen people say they were paying $20,000 for tickets to go see her.
Oh, I literally
see what? What song?
Somebody must have cared that
$20,000. I better be able to go to both
I'm going
nights,
on tour
both,
with them.
Both nights of WrestleMania, I want to sit right behind the fucking announcers and fucking see every show.
I'm not paying $20,000 for that. I don't know if there's.
I literally don't even think I could think of a concert scenario in which I'd pay $20,000.
Maybe not anymore, but
it would literally have to be like if I paid $20,000, I get to pick what bands are playing, what order, and I get to hang out with all of them backstage, and you know, I maybe get to go out and play a song with each of them. That's what
okay,
I.
Okay, that would probably be worth it.
That would. Like, that's what. That, even then, is it like
the experience?
$20,000,
and I would be interested. Who's paying $20,000 with like, what money do they have? If they're rich and they're doing it, I guess whatever they're blowing it. But if it's even like cutting it close, like this is going to be a huge chunk that we can't do a lot of shit this year because I'm spending $20,000. Like, all right, like I what?
Just, see, dude, in the 70s, if you go back and look at concert posters from the 70s,
yeah.
I mean, fucking
$6
Led Zeppelin,
Led
The
Zeppelin.
Who, Grand Funk Railroad, Alice Cooper, Freddie King, fucking Grateful Dead, $7.50. You get to see all that. Like that concerts, it used to be about the fans, and
yeah, now it's just the fans fucking each other over.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Dude, listen, it's like, let's just do a little math. You sell at a 20,000 seat arena, and the minimum ticket. Is $10. Just do the math on that. If every single ticket, dude, that's a fuck ton of money. So now, okay, do $20. 20 times 20,000. You sell them all for that much. Like, dude, like the fact that tickets are as expensive as they are, like, it's crazy. It is insane, and it's not the artist's fault. It's.
Dude.
Fuck, it's, fu-
it's
first of all, it's Ticketmaster fucking us over. Fuck you and fuck your fees, you
it's
fucking cocksuckers.
But it's companies like Ticketmaster.
It's the thing
it's
is
all
like,
of them.
Well, and,
I was
and
say,
it's,
that's
it's,
the only place.
The best way to buy tickets is go to bands' websites and buy them from there. Because
yeah, or, like I said, you get the fucking pre-sale code that you have to fucking Google from somewhere. Yeah. Which is like, it shouldn't be that way. You should just be able to fucking get on there, buy the. But it's like Ticketmaster, you know, it doesn't care because, well, yeah, they if somebody sells their ticket, they get the fucking fee they paid, and now they're getting the fee somebody else paid. So they're like, keep selling your tickets, keep selling them because we're going to keep getting that fucking fee. And, you know, it's crazy how the fee
and the bands don't
is not
see
a set number. It's not a set number, which doesn't make any sense. Oh, the higher ticket price is a higher fee. What?
Why?
Yeah, exactly. Why? Same fucking thing.
I do.
There's
also,
no fee. Fuck your fee.
Out of time.
I do also basically. Blame people buying up tickets just to sell them.
Yeah, fuck those cocksuckers.
That pisses me off too. And that happens. See, that's why I like going to these metal shows at these smaller venues because, dude, they're 20 to at most. Dude, I think.
Well, sometimes those are. I mean, those are just the fucking. You never know. A band could come out of that and be like, they
that's
blew
true.
Up.
Well, like in May, me, Dad, and Hunter are going to see... we're going to Houston to see Frozen Soul, who's an upcoming death metal band out of Texas. And they're opening for Obituary, Cannibal Corpse, and Amon Amarth. And I think each ticket we It was $50. It's four bands, three of which are legends in what they do, and one of them is an up and coming, gonna be big, huge one day band. So like, it's $50. I mean, like, you can't beat that. That's four people. I mean, you spend $600 to sit in the nosebleeds to see Beyonce, and I love Beyonce. That I can kind of understand more. She's been around for a long time. She's a hell of a performer. She's doing a lot on stage. And I'm not saying someone like Taylor Swift doesn't, but at the same time, the music is just like, how do you make this exciting?
It's not even $400, though. It's like $1,200.
No, I know. It's insane. If you want to get anywhere, which me, I like small venues because I like venue where I can stand at the very back and I can still see and it sounds good. I don't give a fuck about being at the front row. I don't. I want to be able to see the whole stage.
I'd rather either be like right at the front or, I don't know. I mean, it doesn't matter in a small venue. Like when we saw
a small venue, it doesn't
matter.
Like
when we saw, I think it was Fozzy at the, what the fuck it's called, Live Temple something.
Forget Fort Smith Live.
Yeah. That was a good view. I mean, we like, they had like the pit area and then they had the fucking seating that went up and we were like in the pit but we just stood at the back towards the wall and I was like from
we saw Nugent we were near the fucking exit.
It definitely feels like whatever.
Oh yeah, that similar. Yeah, Nugent was awesome.
It's a great size.
I mean, you could
too.
Just chill out there and you're right by the fucking bar,
right by the fucking exit.
Yeah.
And the vibe at, you know, smaller shows just usually feels more authentic because there's not so many distractions usually.
Yeah, you nobody's know. The only time people are on the phone is if they're fucking taking a video, which I will say that I do like a lot of the old heads fucking doing the old, you get one fucking, you know, you get one time to use your fucking phone and put it up the rest of the time.
Dude,
I'm fine with that.
That Tool concert we went to, I'm not going to lie, it was really cool because some people don't like the whole keeping your phone up. Here's the thing. You know what I saw? Because everybody did really well about actually listening and not pulling them. I saw thousands of people actually, and I saw 20,000 people engaged in a concert.
Yeah, it made a difference.
I saw 20,000 people enjoying the show, paying attention, you know, just engaging. And seeing crowd engagement makes shows better. Whenever a crowd is good and, like, you're happy to be a part of it.
Oh, it makes it so much better.
Like, whenever Cam and I saw the Eagles the first time and we gave Vince Gill a five-minute standing ovation and made him cry, that's one of the proudest moments I've ever had in part of a crowd. And then I remember, dude, like, there's this venue in Oklahoma City. Shout out to them. I've been to many shows here, and I've never paid more than $20 for a ticket. And they'll play, dude, it's crazy. I don't even know how they make money. They'll have five bands on a thing, and they're like five solid bands, and they'll be $20 tickets, and then half the room will be full. It's crazy. But that's how it's supposed to be. Like, dude, when Dad, Hunter, and I, we went and saw Medicine Horse right before the podcast. They opened up for Max Cavalera's new band. There was three bands that played between Medicine Horse and them. So there's five bands there. We paid $19.50 for those tickets. The room, there was maybe 40 people there, maybe less. Like, I was from here to Trevor for Max Cavalera playing on stage.
What was the name of the venue?
89th Street Collective. It's in Oklahoma City. They play. They have a lot of metal bands come through there. Like every once in a while, that's where I saw Goat Whore, and I had actually got the shirt there. And that was the Cancer Christ show was there. And then I went and saw Go Ahead and Die there as well. But they've always got some pretty cool. If you're a metalhead and you want to find a place, there's actually this place in Tulsa called the Whittier Bar. I don't know if you've heard of that.
Done by Third and Lewis.
I think so.
Yeah.
I think so. They play a lot because apparently the local Tulsa metal scene is actually really good.
No, that's Kendall Whittier neighborhood. My bad.
Oh. Someone's calling. They finally dropped the bombs over there and Iran fucking pull the trigger.
Nope. Not yet.
I'm just being real. I'm hoping that someone bombs somebody so that their fucking tax office doesn't exist. So I don't pay these fucking taxes. I'm not gonna lie. I need something, some kind of divine intervention to prevent me from paying these taxes.
It's horseshit.
What if I traded the whole world away just so I didn't have to pay taxes? Like, all right, fine, yeah, sure, we'll do this, but like, you'll never have to pay taxes again, but you'll never have a working toilet again either because the world's gonna be shitty. It's like the Book of Elijah.
You're the old
or the Book of Eli. What's the fuck?
Throwing your fucking toilets out the window.
Yeah. Dude, I would literally
What would you do if the let's say that
I die, just lay down.
Well, yeah, most people would, but like if let's say you got out of the city, like you know,
about how at one point I had a PS5 and Wi-Fi and 5G.
You give up? You'd be like
internet porn, all that shit. I'd talk about that. Cliff. I'd talk about all the.
So you'd be a storyteller.
always used to tell people that I wouldn't be like, you know, I wouldn't be like a fire rebel or a part of them. I would be like, you know, somebody's got to be the Wikipedia of the world. So I'd sit in a room at a circular desk that I can never leave.
People would huddle around you at night and you'd tell them.
Just any Final Fantasy and people walk in you and you get information from you.
Just any fucking question they have, I can answer it. I have a book. I either know
it. Go to Lord Jared and he'll give you the information.
I've got one of those fucking glasses that actually make my vision worse on.
You'd also be like
hat. You're just like a wizard. He's a fucking wizard.
I've got maestro hair at that point. I've got missing a top and long on the sides, you know what I'm saying? But I did it on my own. No, that's what I would do. I always used to tell people, I'd be like, I'd become Wikipedia. I would be the human Wikipedia.
It's a good idea. It's needed. It'll
Someone shows up, they want to know, when did George Washington cross the Delaware? I swivel around. I'm going book to book. I'm blowing dust off books. According to this, in 1771 is when that happened, or whatever.
So you're like the librarian slash...
Yeah. Yes, historian.
You're a storyteller, yeah.
Yes, exactly. That way, nobody... He's like, you can't kill me. Come on.
Every good
society... You guys don't know anything.
Good societies need storytellers.
Because hopefully by the time that all happens, I can't work anymore anyway. Because, you know, I don't know. I wouldn't be a good slave. I'd be a horrible slave.
Why is that?
I'd be asking
for... Okay, go ahead.
Well, I would ask for a human resources department for fucking mistreatment. Like, what the
fuck? They just beat you and tell you to go back to work.
Exactly. I would actually file for like a complaint box and I'd fill it up. I actually built one and I have my own complaints in it. Yeah, I'd be a terrible slave.
I'm a carpenter.
You guys are really misusing my talents here. You guys got me scooping horse shit in the stables.
I can make boxes.
Damn.
I can hold complaints.
I was a doctor. Like, what the fuck? You got me out here fucking putting horseshoes on horses? Plowing the field? That'd be one thing. Because I know me. They would put me on a plow.
Yeah. You're bulky.
Yeah, they'd make me fuck the biggest woman so that our spawn was big and good healthy, for working. Big, exactly. Big bone, that's what they'd make me do, yeah.
It'd be selective
breeding.
Genetics, yeah.
It's eugenics.
Yeah.
Yeah, America actually practiced it first, and the Nazis actually took it from us.
They stole it from us, just like Europe. Well, never mind. I'll take that back.
Fake news! Fake news.
No, that's true.
A lot of fake news.
No, we stole the Statue of Liberty from France.
They gave it to us. It was
a gift. Yeah, that's true.
It was a gift.
Yeah, that's true.
They wanted to give it to us.
Yeah. Take it.
We bailed their ass out how many times?
I think they gave it to us. They gave it to us first, and then we bailed them out later. Right? You're the historian.
So they helped us out at the last minute in the American Revolution.
They did.
Some say that we wouldn't have won without them. I say we had it won, and they showed up like, hey, guys, you guys need help? And we're like, yeah, sure.
Lafayette was...
He was the only one!
Just saying.
Marquis de Lafayette was the only Frenchman that actually showed up when George Washington called.
That's why there's all these Lafayette schools everywhere.
Dude, think about it. 1783 was the Battle of Yorktown, the final significant battle of the American Revolution when the French actually showed up in 1783. The fucking first shots were fired in 1775.
Biggest battle in the Revolution? I can't remember.
The biggest?
Was it Yorktown?
It might have been, because that's when the French showed up from the sea, the British were dug in, America had them surrounded.
It seems like there was another, like, pretty significant one, but I can't remember the name of it.
Well, there's Bunker Hill.
Bunker Hill,
was like us proving that, hey, we might have lost. It's kind of like it was the first moral victory for the American military.
Yeah.
We lost. We didn't win, but we held them back. They underestimated us. Technically,
they had to think twice.
And what a lot of people don't realize is the first technical, like the thing that first kind of popped off was the fort was whatever Fort Ticonderoga.
I'm thinking of the where green, nobody knew who fired the first shot.
Well, that was Atticus. Crispus Atticus was the first person shot in the American Revolution. A black guy.
Yeah.
Which, of course, you know, it's always been there. It always started. A black guy got shot and a war happened. You know what I'm saying? But like, but no, that happened. And then in 1773. the Green Valley Boys or the Green Mountain Boys took over Fort Ticonderoga from the British, and not a single shot was fired.
Sounds like one of those, like, you know, not storm the Capitol groups.
That's literally the only thing they ever did. They showed up. They took over the fort without killing a single British soldier.
There's probably a Green Mountain gang out there.
Probably. They're fucking each other in the Appalachian Mountains. Happened in New York, I think. Because a lot of people always think that Bunker Hill was the first battle. Technically, it was when Fort Ticonderoga was taken over. Which, if you guys remember all those pencils with Ticonderoga on it.
Yeah.
That's exactly right. Fucking history, motherfuckers.
I mean, I guess Washington crossing the Delaware, and that was probably, you know.
Yeah.
In America's history, the biggest revolutionary.
Without Washington, we don't win that war.
Right.
Because he's the only one that had any kind of, like, strategy. He was actually, like, also, he fought for the British.
Also without Mel Gibson.
Yeah, dude.
I mean, the Patriot.
If they wouldn't have killed his fucking nerdy son that liked to play with dolls.
He was a pacifist until then.
They should have left him alone.
They should have done it. He literally would have been... They would have been...
You know what? If you think about it, though, Mel Gibson was kind of a bitch in that movie. Because he was kind of a loyalist.
He was.
He, whenever they did that convention, I know Trevor's fucking squirming in his skin right now having to hear about all this history.
Yeah.
Dude, whenever he went to that convention, remember they were talking about, we have to fight the British, and he stood up, he was like,
no.
Why should I fight the British?
He's a pacifist.
He was a loyalist is what he was, because he fought for the British in the French and Indian War.
Yeah, no, he did. They talked about it at the beginning of the movie.
Dude, what is worse than a loyalist in the American Revolution? A bunch of fucking Americans like, we love the British. We like getting fucking taxed.
Canadians.
Fucking Canadians.
Was Canada a thing that came after U.S.? I can't remember.
Canada was, at that point, split up between France and England.
Although, I will say there's a decently funny show called Letterkenny.
Fantastic show.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's a hilarious show. I have a friend that says it's funnier than Trailer Park Boys. It makes me not like Letterkenny as much because it's nowhere near as funny as Trailer Park Boys. It's funny, though.
It is funny.
It's almost like a fucking... Naked Gun movie. It's just non-stop punchline after punchline. Zinger, 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 zinger. One-liner. Dude, Canadian.
There's this kid that I worked with named Cody. He reminds me of Stuart so much.
Stuart!
Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
Everything Trevor kind of reminds me of the gay priest.
Oh, Gail? No, Gail's the bartender.
Gail's the bartender.
Well, what is the priest's name?
Father fucking...
Dude, yeah.
I don't know. He's funny, though. That character.
No, he's one of the best characters in the show, for sure.
I mean, I love Wayne.
Yeah, Wayne's awesome.
I love Wayne. I love
Jonesy
Squirrely.
And,
I love
Jonesy and...
Jonesy and...
Riley. Riley and Jonesy.
Oh,
hilarious.
I love Squirrely. There's honestly not a character I honestly don't like. I like McMurray.
Dude, yeah, it's all good characters.
How you doing now? Not so bad. How about yourself? I love that show. It's great. How the fuck did we go from the American
Bitter
Revolution?
Patter, let's get at her.
American Revolution to Letterkenny. We're talking about America here. Fuck the Canadians. I'm pretty sure at that point, Canada, which most of it still to this day is a wilderness that nobody fucking barely lives in, but I'm pretty sure half of it was given, like, the English colonized it, so is the French, and it's pretty much still like that to this day.
Yeah. Wait. Except for Quebec, right?
Yeah, I mean, so I'm pretty sure that Canada as a whole answers to the Queen of England now.
I mean, she's on the money.
Or the King of England now.
Oh, yeah.
But I'm pretty, I mean, but like, it's still French, there's still French Canadian, and then there's English Canadian. I mean, it's.
Yeah.
A bunch of Quebec and a bunch of assholes. And then, you know, British Columbia, you got a bunch of assholes. It's the two worst people ever.
Have you been to Canada?
Oh, yeah. I go all the time.
No. I was going to ask you, like, I mean, you were very specific about British Columbia part.
No, I'm just, no, I base my, I don't know any, all I know is there's Canadians and then there's French Canadians.
Yeah.
French Canadians are some of the douchiest people ever.
I mean, I don't know. I've never met one, but I will say Cajuns are pretty cool and they're, you know, French lineage.
Yeah, they're great. Yeah. Yeah, but there's also Spanish, there's French, there's African, there's all kinds of stuff there.
There's a whole Creole thing going on down there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But like up in French Canada, it's just a bunch of white people that took after the French, who are the worst people ever. I hate the French. I don't like French people. I don't like clearly. British. I don't. I like at least British. Like at least you can think of a. How about this? We could do a thought exercise if you'd like. I could name a lot of really cool things to come out of England and Great Britain, France. I can name a few.
Statue of Liberty.
But it's ours.
Okay, you're right.
It's ours.
So we took that from them too.
Okay, well, if French you're really so let's do the Family Feud version of this. So you're saying art, art is something that comes out of France. Great, a lot of cool people
do art.
What about
the Eiffel Tower? What about wine?
See,
wine.
Okay, so when you tell me I should fly all the way from Oklahoma to France to see a fucking tower, why?
Some people
to climb it and get tired.
Would you drive to see the Statue of Liberty?
No,
no. I would.
It's just a different.
Well,
a different,
what about I would Mount do Rushmore? That. I would do. Yes,
I think it's just a different. I would go see people.
I'd go see the Statue of Liberty because I'm an American.
Well, okay, so I get why you wouldn't want to fly over the. You know,
just to see the. I'm paying $2,600 for 2 weeks.
I mean, they probably have one in Las Vegas, don't they?
Yeah,
yeah.
That's like
they have one in Paris, hotel. Texas. Also,
yeah. They have a hotel.
They got one right next to the Waffle House in Paris, Texas. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, I think you're right.
I think they do. I went down there one time.
Everything's
and got pulled
bigger
over.
In Texas.
Luckily, the cop ended up being from Fort Gibson, but that's a whole other story.
Dude, I got pulled over in Paris, Texas also.
Really?
Speed trap. In fact, I got pulled over twice because I got lost in Paris, Texas.
You got lost. I cannot fucking believe that.
Yeah, well, okay, in my defense, Paris, Texas.
I'm supposed to be in Paris, France. I'm in Paris, Texas.
I was like, now I know my friends why they said I couldn't drive.
Hey, I found your house.
It's like all of his friends are like, yeah, it's going to be 23 hours of flying. Luke's like, I'll be there in 6 hours. I'll be there fucking real quick.
It just only 6 hours away.
Honestly, no. Paris is right over the border. It might only be like 3.5 hours from here. Maybe. It's not that far.
I'm doing good on time.
You go through Antlers, Oklahoma, and then you're right there.
When I was a kid, like people would take me home from soccer practice back home, and they'd be like, so you know how to get home? I'd be like, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Listen, we drove in the wrong neighborhood.
Oh, yes.
We were driving around in circles. Just... I don't. They were like, "Are you sure it's in this neighborhood?" I'd be like, "Yes, yeah, it's the next one down. I'm pretty sure." I just keep going and going because I thought I knew what I was doing, but I did not. At
Dude,
all.
That happened to me. I was in second grade, living out here actually, and I remember I rode the bus, and I remember the first time I ever took the bus home, and I was like, because I remember our route where I was at on the route, I was the last kid to be dropped off. I remember one time I was on the bus for an hour after I should have been because I was like, yeah, just keep going and I'll tell you when I'm there. And the guy was like, I can't do that. I'm like, I'm in second grade. I was like, I'll know my house when I see it. And then, like, dude, I remember I almost started crying because I was like, I'm never going to make it home because I don't know where the fuck I live, I guess.
You know, a bus driver, kind of an underrated job, to be quite honest with you.
Oh, yeah. You got
to
deal with a bunch of fucking
kids.
And
you got to figure you're a member of where everybody lives.
I mean, it's a route.
Know what I'm saying, but I'm saying, like, say if you're fucking, you're Fort Gibson, you have to go out to 4 Mile and fucking, you gotta remember where everybody lives.
Well, Fort Gibson is really easy to navigate.
Yeah,
you
I know,
get
but
out
I'm
of
saying,
the fucking 62.
But if you have 20, well, 20 different kids.
If you get on 62, street. You can get anywhere from there.
Then you gotta remember, oh, that kid's not supposed to get off here. Yeah. You're just trying to sneak off with blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, or like, you know, like, got the wrong, like,
what if you think he's supposed to get off, so you kick a kid off at the wrong bus stop, he's like 2 miles away?
Yeah.
One time I was on a bus with my buddy in school, and we were like fifth grade, and this fucking bus driver hit a horse. Hit his horse, actually,
oh,
and killed
God.
It.
Oh, his horse? Dude, I bet that guy was
How bad of a crash was that? That'd have totaled the bus.
I don't know, you know, the bus. Like,
no, it really wasn't. It was just a fucking bam. We're like, what the fuck?
Where were you that you hit a horse?
We're in like I think he lived on like 6 miles. It was like in Fort Gibson.
Fort Gibson.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. That makes sense.
So you would go left at that one that goes like curves to the right.
Yeah.
Okay. So it's across from wherever that.
Yeah. And it was all, but it was
is.
All the way down, and then you go up Rocky Top
yeah.
Road. Yeah.
So that's over. Yeah. Oh, dude, that road sucks too.
Yeah. Well, now it's nice because they fucking paved it
but,
all.
I remember,
but before it was fucking rough.
They were working on it whenever I was last there, and it sucked whenever they were working on it. Cause I used to have to drive my truck out there, and it was like
it was one of those things. If you have a car, you drive like 2 miles an hour the whole.
You have
road.
To,
yeah. Because if not, you're gonna fucking.
Well, I used to have to take Raglan home, and he lived back there, And I remember driving there. I was like, do I really have to drive you home in my Altima on that fucking road that probably needs an ATV to be driven on? Dude, that fucking road sucked. But, fuck. Damn it. I had something I was going to say, but I forgot. What the hell were you talking about recently?
What were we talking about? France.
France. That's it. Dude, fuck the fucking French, dude. I fucking hate them.
Why?
There's nothing appealing about them whatsoever.
I mean, The Simpsons said the same thing.
All anyone ever tells me is that they're artistic, they have mimes, they've got the Eiffel Tower, and that they've got great food. But here's the thing. All the best restaurants in France aren't, like, French restaurants. They're other fucking from other places.
Okay.
Like, different cuisines.
Okay, I got you, yeah.
I
like, no lean. You know what I'm saying?
Dude, yeah. French cuisine's also... I mean, come on. I'm not going to lie. Coqueroux is actually pretty good. Coqueroux is pretty good.
What?
It's whenever you take chicken breast and you put it in wine and then you bake it.
Man, is bologna from France?
Fuck, no. That's American.
Bologna.
We're the only kind of people that's like, let's take all the stuff no one wants to eat and we'll turn it into a meat.
A bologna sandwich.
Dog, I will eat bologna every single day. I love bologna.
Man.
One time there was fucking beef bologna in this house, and Cam, like, fucking...
Beef bologna is, like...
Like, she saw it in there, and she just thought it was disgusting. Like, she was like...
Dude, I didn't think it was all that great either.
Beef bologna?
I thought, look, they're just regular old bologna.
Dude, when I was growing up, if there was beef bologna in the house, I was like, oh, we're eating good today. Like, that was, like, the good shit. I love beef bologna, dude. Oh my! And then also, I like barbecue style bologna, smoked.
Oh man, that's where it's at.
I mean, they don't get much better than that.
No, that's the best.
I like bologna. I'm just always been a ham guy, man. Ham sandwich, ham and cheese sandwich. Yeah,
whatever. Yeah. Bologna's a little bit more fun. You don't know what you're getting, really. What the hell is this?
That is true.
You got a particular ham you go to?
I mean, the Oscar Mayer honey ham was always a go-to. Sometimes man, the Oscar cheese with the little piece of cheese in there.
It's not bad.
I like honey ham. I like Black Forest.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's hard.
Sweet bourbon. If you're really classing it up at the deli there, you're getting
a
sliced up.
Honey ham with a fucking slice of American on white bread. No fucking condiments needed. That fucking yellow cheese stick to the roof of your tongue.
Oh, yeah.
Your mouth. You're sitting there like...
I remember fucking... You fucking have to get a drink because you're...
Oh, my God. When I remember being a kid, I'd put bologna, cheese, mayo, mustard, and I'd put, like, whatever chips were lying around the house on there.
Some reason you put chips on a sandwich, it just changes it. Like, just some barbecue. Even if it's just crumbs, you know, it just
it's always barbecue.
Dude, Cheetos. You put Cheetos on a fucking bologna and cheese sandwich?
Yeah, then
mayo?
Literally, you put the entire fucking sandwich is stuck to your fucking mouth. Because you got the Cheeto and you got the
mayo
cheese
to
and a little bit of bread.
You got that mayo fucking sticking it all together, you know what I'm saying? Enhancing the flavors of everything.
Sticking it all together.
That's why I like mayo. Mayo is just a flavor enhancer. All it does is enhance whatever you're eating.
Nothing wrong with mayo.
I love it. If you use it right, if you just put it on there like a disgusting fucking animal, I don't know about that.
I like mayo's all right, but I'm just always in a Miracle
You're
Whip
fucking
guy.
Such a fucking asshole.
Hey, remember when we were in fucking...
I fucking hate
remember
you.
When we were in fucking...
We were having such a good conversation, and then this is just like the United Nations, and then France has something to say. This is just like you're France. We're all having a great conversation over here, and then you gotta come in and be like, oh, I like me like a whip in here.
I do.
You fucking asshole. Why? Because it tastes like someone came in it.
It's sweet.
Came in it. Because it tastes like someone came in it at the factory.
Remember when we were fucking Bristol and fucking Josh like refused to let us get it?
So, I don't like that.
I was like, okay, but everybody else is fine with it. No, I don't care.
When I say I'm fine with it, I'm saying I would rather not put anything on my sandwich.
Yeah.
So we'll go ahead and get it. But if you think about it, Trevor, you were the only one that really wanted the Miracle Whip.
I was the one buying the groceries, so... That's
the
what I was like.
The state government was buying the groceries. You didn't pay for those groceries. The state did. So don't pull that shit on me.
It was in my name.
We could have got both.
It was in my name.
We could have got both. I can't believe it was a choice.
The problem is we were at a fucking like
Dollar General.
And it was off. It was just, you know, the only one there. So they're charging an arm and a leg for fucking everything.
It was like $6.19 for a fucking little jar of
It was like
Miracle
a fucking
Whip.
Dollar General. It was like. 20 minutes down a mountain, like literally down a mountain.
Yeah. But it's like, if you look at the miles, you're like, oh, it's not that far. It's like 3 miles.
Where were you guys at?
We were in fucking Bristol, Tennessee.
Bristol,
Yeah. Colorado is similar to that in those mountain towns. Like, they charge you an arm and a leg.
Oh, well, yeah, because, like, it's like, well, it took 6 weeks to get this here, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We kind of have to.
Up the charge.
I mean, and I get it. I just, dude, I wish we had another couple days at that place. I love that. But like,
because the place was nice too. We just, I mean, that one day we did get to enjoy it when we watched college football. That was awesome.
Yeah, but then I got drunk, and then by the time it was time also, to go to the thing, I was like,
great if we would have known then that we could have been betting on stuff, because we didn't figure that out until later.
Oh, you can bet at the race.
Well, in that state, you could bet.
No, anytime. We were in Kansas when we figured that out.
Well, yeah, but you can do it in Tennessee. We just didn't know it at the time because we weren't into it.
I wasn't even betting at that time.
That's what I'm saying. Like, when we went to Kansas, I was like, you could fucking bet here. I figured it out. And then we started, Kansas, like,
sports betting. Yeah. Sports betting.
Which really? Is a load of horseshit, Oklahoma. Tell me why you can have more casinos than every fucking state besides fucking Nevada.
Biggest casino in the country in Oklahoma.
So, why can't we fucking sports bet?
So because we believe in God here.
If you're a resident of Oklahoma and you win like a jackpot in Kansas or a huge bet.
Oh, if you collect it there.
You can?
Mm-hmm. There, yeah. Yeah.
Even if you're not a citizen.
Sure.
Of state,
Whenever like I was, you know, when I knew I was getting
into. It's like going to Colorado and smoking weed. As long as you keep it there, who cares?
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah.
When I was, when we just came back from Kansas, because I'd won like a good bet there. So I was like, you know, I had the itch. I wanted to fucking bet. So I drove to fucking Arkansas because you can bet over there.
You can sports bet in Arkansas too?
Yeah. I drove to Arkansas like 9 o'clock in the morning.
What the fuck, Oklahoma?
And ate at a Waffle House and sit there and made my bets.
Waffle House is where it's at.
Hell yeah. It was a good meal.
That sounds like a great time. I'm not going to lie. I was going to try and goof on you. But I was just thinking, I was like, wow, alone at a Waffle House over the state line, putting a bet in?
Smoking a cigarette.
Smoking a cigarette.
Yeah.
Loosening your tie, tightening it back up. That'd be great, dude. Rolling your sleeves up.
And I was sitting at the bar, too. I was like, I'm not going to get a table. I just sit at the bar. You know, you walk in. Yeah.
Dude, you're there for breakfast
to
lunch.
It's a whole different crew.
You're there so long. You're there long enough to have breakfast and then lunch. You eat there twice in one sitting.
Like, if I would have won that day,
that'd be a great loading the jukebox up.
It might have became a routine.
Too. Oh, it is.
It might have became a routine if I would have won that day.
Like, dude, you get their fucking whatever breakfast that comes with the you know, all the stuff, the eggs. And my dad is right.
God, the
probably
cheesy
the best
eggs.
Cheesy eggs. Oh, that my they God. Do it. Like, yeah. It's insane how it's they legit. Do it. And then their grits. I had some of the best grits I've ever had in my life.
Grits are amazing there.
Came at a Waffle House in Georgia.
Oh, man.
I was the only white person in there.
Yeah.
Those grits were made with love, if you know what I'm saying. But, like, dude, I still get them there. Dude, their grits with the toast. Oh, my God. I could go there right now. I'd go there and fucking eat right now. Get a steak, a T-bone steak
dude,
and a
waffle.
Dude,
they're fucking good, man. That's why I said, like, when I went there, I was like, this is. And then I lost, and I was like, all right, I can't go back. Because, like, this is where you go off the cliff.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it's like all the time I'll be betting, and we do the same thing where we lose, and if we go through a drought, we just stop betting for like a month. Because I'm like, this is where people go into it.
Oh, see,
like,
that's.
So you got to stop yourself.
I will go, like, I want to put a little juice on it.
You get paid. You're like, extra
why not,
money.
Man? Put a $20 bet in.
So when you win, like, you can collect it right then?
You can.
So let's say this. On what we use, but what's legal in Oklahoma, let's say this. If I were to do a $20 parlay, and I do up to 5 picks, I could win $400.
Right. So you
need 25, I win $500 on a 5 leg. I've done that before. But you win one time, and you're like, I'm going to win every time.
Yeah.
And then you start blowing your fucking, you know.
Now, like, so, do they collect, like, if you, like, here, when you win over a certain amount, they collect taxes?
Yeah, we've just never won that much.
Yeah,
so.
You have to win. I think you have to win a certain amount before you have to actually do that. I think I've won just under $1,000 doing it.
No, are those, like, ran by the state, or those casinos are ran by, like, we'll see, like, in Oklahoma, it's only legal on
it's just
federal
an app.
Ground.
Well, so this app is, like, it's like, based on player stats.
I'm
that's
asking
how
a lot
they get
legal
around
questions.
It.
I don't know.
They get around it because it's a it's player
so
stats.
Basically all the,
like,
all sports betting is done through
win.
Las Vegas. It's all done.
Okay.
All sports betting is done through Las Vegas. Gotcha. And not every state is in line with, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like
yeah,
it's
yeah.
not it's not legal to bet off the MGM like odds. Like, you know, like basically whenever it shows on a game, Oh, it's the Jets versus the Panthers. Jets are 2.5-point favorites. That's Las Vegas.
I see.
Yeah.
So we can't bet on that. But you can, in the NBA, you can bet on, is LeBron going to score 30 points? Sure.
Right.
You can do that. Individual player betting is fine. I think when it comes to team, spreads, credit, if it comes in, if like, and also if you're out there listening, you're balding, you're fat, you smoke cigarettes, you eat at Waffle House in Arkansas. Listen, if people are accepting credit for your sports betting, it is not legit what you are doing, because no legit places take credit. I'm just saying. So just if you're out there,
this isn't fucking 20 years ago.
Uncle
Joey.
Let me save you some fucking time and heartache. Don't bet through someone that's accepting credit, because that's how your fucking son's college fund goes out the window, and your wife leaves you, and your dog's, you know, eating dead peanut butter off your crotch for $5. I don't know. I'm just saying, it's not a good time. I wouldn't do it. So I would stick to your underdog. I'd stick to DraftKings if you're in a state where it is legal. Bet responsibly.
I will say,
I'm not even sponsored by these guys, and I think that's one thing they should be driving home, because I think I don't think gambling is that. I mean, you know, because like, here's the thing, it's like everything.
It's the only thing I've been addicted to.
A lot of people have self-control. I think the reason why gambling has never been a huge thing for me is because I refuse to be addicted to wasting money. And that's what being addicted to gambling is. Unless, is the only people that actually do well gambling are people that had money before it. If you have the money to put in on it and you have money to lose, yeah, sure, you can win. You play, mm-hmm. you play 10 poker tournaments, you win one time, you win enough to make it worth going to all of them.
Dude, I just felt like
I would do poker. If I could play poker professionally, if I could just find a way to get into a tournament, I would fucking do that for a living.
I mean, I've played in poker tournaments at the casino. I mean, they're fun.
How do you do it? Do you have to buy in?
Yeah, you just buy in.
How much is it usually?
I don't remember. Like, I think I paid like $50 when I was playing.
That's not bad. I could do that.
I mean, you can buy in bigger games too, like, you know, higher stakes games. So they have different.
Dude, like, there's games. Some tournaments, like professional ones. Like, dude, 18th place gets like.
Yeah.
$8,000.
Yeah, 10 there's grand. There's a lot of, like, or, you know,
if you place in the top 20, you get at least like a lot.
Yeah,
it's like being on the golf tour. You fucking come in 14th place. It's like, all right, here's $80,000.
Poker's a huge thing. It's a real deal.
I would love to do that. That's the only thing I think I could do that's gambling, because at least there is some strategy to it. It's not complete chance. I mean, because it's not. Because you don't have to have anything to win. You can make people think you do and win if you're good at it.
Yeah.
You can. You also, if you know every single hand available and you know there's always something that you could get, and it's all about odds, and you get good at that. I personally, when I play, I don't like to try and fucking fake people out. I like to play off of like what's possible. Mm. And I like the way, like, all right, listen.
Here's, so you don't ever bluff.
You have to, but I'm saying I don't rely on it. I will not. I'm not going to keep throwing in if I've got nothing.
You're not going to bluff every time.
If I've got absolutely nothing in my hand, I'm not going to do that. I think it's.
You're going to try to play the percentages.
Well, listen. If you do that, yes, absolutely. Because listen, if you do that, you're predictable. Right. Oh, so all I got to do is make you think that I've got a good hand, and you'll fucking bet your entire pot. Even if I've got nothing, then I can bow out of the fucking. You know what I mean? Like,
would your chances of winning go up though if you were doing that like, randomly? Maybe not like
bluffing.
Yeah,
I genuinely think you have to have a little bit of something to bluff. Like, you can't have nothing.
Yeah, because I mean,
you're gonna go to the final hand with zero. Like, you don't even have a pair of twos.
I agree. Typically, you would need. But if you, let's say you were starting out the game early and, you know, you put enough in there that scared everybody off, they might just fold on it.
The only time, okay, so the only kind of bluffing I do like that, here's how I would do it. It's not going to be the entire hand. What I would do is, on the second hand, on the second round, I would bet an outrageous number that nobody else would want to match right off the bat. That's how I would bluff. But I would have something. Like, I'd have to have a pair of twos. I have one. I'm one suit away from a flush. That's the only one. I would not just be like 400, 600, 700, like just raising it, because I mean, a lot of times when I see people do that, I know what they're doing. But like, let's say this, we go through a round, and I'm really giving away my fucking how I play. But like, if we go through a round and I don't have much, but I got a pair of threes. Mm-hmm. So it's something. There's a chance I could win on that if you have nothing.
I mean, you have okay, yeah. so you're in, right?
I'm
so
in, and we go through the second round of betting. When it comes to me, let's say the bet's 50, I'll fucking throw 300 on there.
Okay.
Right off the bat, and I'm in the middle of betting, and that makes so that means the next person's going to
force a lot of people out.
Exactly.
You're going to be like, yeah, you probably have. I mean, the percentages would be that you have possibly have something better than a pair of threes.
Well, you know what else that does is it tells me if somebody else has something that might be better than me, or they have something if they're willing to bet on that. So like
that's where it gets interesting. Yeah, though.
Then you pay to
because then I'll never bluff again.
And then, then you're already in three deep, and you're like.
I think a lot of people do that just to get people out of the pot because, like,
oh, you should.
Oh, yeah, because you're scared.
I put 300. If there's five of us and the bet's 50, I'm the third person to bet, and I raise it 250 to 300. Yeah, two people are going to fold immediately, just because they'll live to fight another day, unless they're dumb and they don't know what the hell they're doing,
or they have something really good,
or unless they have something. And that's where you can't just blindly. You got to know what you're doing,
right?
There's you have to understand. You have to read the river, or you got to read the what you got to read what's laid down. You got to think. I've got two kings. I've got a king in my hand. There's a king on there. In order for someone to beat me, they've got to at least have a pair of aces to beat my pair of kings, or they'll tie me and they've got a king in their hand. I got a king. There's a king there. Whatever. That's how you have to think. Like, okay, I've got a pair of tens. There's a few things that can beat me, but they'd have to be, you know, a jack, queen, king, ace.
But if you have five players, the chances of, you know, somebody getting a three of a kind or, you know, it's pretty high. I mean, I've seen it happen quite a bit. So
yeah, I mean, and I've, you know how many times I've been in a situation where I thought I had a hand? And it happens.
Or somebody gets lucky on the river, you know, or the boat, wherever the middle of the camera is.
I mean, there's been straight up times where I thought my hand was unbeatable, and I was just throwing in. I'm not bluffing, because I'm not. That's what happens to a lot of people. They're not bluffing. They think they got a hand that is unbeatable, and that's where a lot of people miss out on winning money in poker, is that they've got a hand that they're just letting it known. It's not. It's the opposite of bluffing. I mean,
they're
it's
trying
not the
to
opposite.
Get more money like, in because they want to keep people in.
Whenever
keep
you
throwing
bluff,
money in.
You're trying to make people think.
Yeah,
but you can tell whenever somebody does have something good, and they're just
well, I mean,
not even thinking
like
about
what
it.
What you should do then is if you have something, like in let's say you draw like
if you got a four of a kind on aces and it's early in the round,
you don't go.
Yeah,
away.
You should
go.
Make people bet as much as you.
Yeah,
possibly
you don't
want to
throw in 500 and then everybody.
Disagree.
That's like, how you raise the pot.
Well, let's say you're going to throw it like off the first card flip, like you're going to put your whole go all in, or like you know. 75% in, you know, people are going to back, like more people are going to back off. So the more people you can lure into, because you know,
yeah, not, you want to. I would say that you definitely you want to like maybe the, raise the pot, yeah. But you don't want to raise
I
it
had,
to where it's like, oh, this guy's got
yeah,
something, and
yeah,
he drops
yeah, yeah.
out.
Let's say this:
you want to lure people into keep betting.
Sure, if I've got a king and my first two cards are a king of spades and a queen of spades, and the first three cards they lay are immediately 10, jack, and ace of spades. I'm not. What I would do, because that's a royal flush right off the bat, I would do everything I can to make people think I don't have one.
Yeah.
And I would raise it little by little.
Until the last round.
Yes. And then whenever you have to bet or you are like, fuck, I put all this money in, I've got to see it through.
But
even at that point.
You might not want to put all of it in. You might want to put like, you know, 25%.
No, I don't think it has to be about being all in. I think it's just more about trying to get as much money from other people as possible.
Right. So you want
to
suck
nickel and dime them. You're nickel. If you know that you've got a hand that's near unbeatable, like you go through the situations in your head, you're like, I've got a royal flush on spades. The only way someone's going to be able to beat me. I don't even know how you can. I think the only thing you can do is if they have a flush of another kind, and I don't even know if that's possible. So if you have a royal flush, I don't think if you.
Yeah, it wouldn't be. That wouldn't be possible.
If you knew you had that, I mean, they could have a flush, but it wouldn't beat a royal flush.
Even a straight flush.
But like, a straight flush wouldn't even beat that. You can nickel and dime them. Be like, well, I'll do 100. And
yeah,
the next round, I'll do 500.
Slowly
oh,
raise
I'll do
the
this.
Bet.
Oh, I'll do that. Like, I mean, at that point, I mean, it don't really matter. But, like, yeah, I would try and milk it until the very end.
Yeah,
I mean,
once you get
it's kind of like Wheel of Fortune. You know what the puzzle is already, but you're going to keep spinning to see how much more money you win.
Just talk a lot of trash like you're bluffing. Try to get them so mad at you that they, like, see it out, you know?
Till the very end, yeah. Because, I mean, then at the end, you can raise it more than what you've been doing, and they're like, I've already gotten this far. What's another 100?
Oh, that's where I got you. That's where I get people is I love whenever it comes down to me and two other people at the very last deal, at the very last round where I'm betting, whenever it's like, I know I've got a great hand. They're going to have to fucking have something really good. And that's happened.
That's what
you'd
sucks.
You'd be surprised.
Whenever
you think
you're
a full
like,
house,
oh, I got this.
You
and then
think
you're like,
you've got a full what? House and you think you've got a slam dunk. No way you lose. And then someone pull out a flush and you're like, motherfucker. Mm. That's happened to me so many times. More times than I can remember. But like, that's that I love when it comes down to me and two other dudes. It's three guys and... The last round of betting, I've got a fucking flush. You guys are a bunch of fags. You guys are a couple of queers. I can't say something like that with you. He's like, oh.
And a couple of dudes. Just
I love it. Me, couple of guys, alone.
Maybe three.
3 a.m. I got them right where I want them. I know. Yeah,
we're flushing. We're flushing.
I know. It sounds like dialogue out of a Steven Seagal movie. I know. Slightly homoerotic.
I looked over at Trevor to see he would do anything.
I saw the way he looked. I saw the way he looked.
I saw him look, and I was like, I think he just looked at me.
I was just
going to
keep going.
I definitely did.
I was just going to keep going because, you know, but like, you know, we have to be 12.
It was because you like specified that it was you and two dudes. Yeah. That's why
I'm talking about playing poker. Whenever it's me and two other people that are happen to be playing, and I know I've got a great hand. That's what I was saying. I'm not jerking these people off.
Great hand. I had a great hand.
See, I don't know how you make poker gay. I don't know. I mean, I guess the name is poker. You know what I mean? Poker, I barely know her. No, it is one of my favorite card games to play. It's probably my favorite one. As far as like, I like, dude, slot machines, fuck that shit. Mm. Blackjack's fun. It just gets old. I mean, it's the
I'll
same thing. It's
blackjack.
Too much. It's so. Mm-hmm. It's just you play so much of it. It's too much. It's almost like playing Fortnite for me.
It gets repetitive.
It's too repetitive. I need a little switch up with poker. You never know. The hands are different every time.
There's more variables.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Just more strategy.
Yeah. You can use more strategy.
As soon as I get my two cards, I immediately look to see if I've got anything in my hand because sometimes you have a pair right off the bat. Sometimes you're like, oh, I got a king and an ace, both of the same suit. That's pretty good. It's always good to have high cards right off the bat, but then they lay the first three, and I'm immediately analyzing every single possible hand. Full house, flush, straight, fucking 3 of a kind, 4 of a kind, 2 pair, any of that. That's what you have to do. And, like, I hate playing with people that, like, don't know what the hell they're doing, and they're just like, all in! Immediately, and it's just like, dude, why don't you fucking have some class?
All in.
Dude, I've played with people that think they're being funny. They just go all in on the first hand. I'm like, you fucking...
Well, if they really have something.
They never do.
But why would you put it all in? I mean, that'd be a stupid decision, because clearly I'm not going to...
What the fuck do you have?
Because then Jared might be like,
Then you're just playing for scraps. Like,
you know what I would do?
Fucking...
I would hope that if someone went all in on the first round, that everybody would just fold and the guy not win anything.
Yeah, and all he wins is fucking...
That's
why I said he's winning scraps.
The game.
He's just fucking winning.
You just stall the game the whole night. You just keep going all in.
It's like the high school with no shot clock. He's just fucking...
Oh, my God. It's like 18 to 14.
Yeah, our high school did that one time. We were playing Booker T or somebody. They literally made us, like, keep the ball on our side of the court for like the whole until 2 minutes were left, and then they went down and shot 1-3. I'm pretty sure we still lost.
That's what Tom Cornelius did against fucking Hakeem Olajuwon.
No. It was my dad went to Green Run High School in Virginia. I think it's like 7A there, and their rival high school, Alonzo Mourning, played at.
Dang.
Before he got drafted to the Charlotte Hornets. And he said that was during the no shot clock era. He said the games would literally be 20-16, and all 20 points were scored by Alonzo Mourning, because whenever they would get the ball, they would just hold it for as long as possible because nobody could stop them.
Right.
And my dad actually went to the same school that David Robinson went to.
Really?
David Robinson, I think, was a senior when he was a freshman.
Dude, one of my favorite players.
He's awesome. He's one of the best dudes ever.
Yeah.
Gets no love.
Dude should.
He should.
He was a dominant center of his time.
Dude, the guy.
Olajuwon, Robinson,
They told him you'd have to score 70 points tonight to break the beat the, to win the scoring record. Guess what he did? He went out there and fucking or to be the scoring leader of the season. They're like, you'd have to score 70 points to do that, and he went out there and scored 70 fucking one.
The Admiral was legit one of the true great centers
he
of our time.
He could shoot from anywhere on the floor too. He was like, he could shoot three if he would have if he wanted to. He could have shot threes and been good at them.
Played good defense.
Great defense.
Great rebounder.
Just fucking had.
All around, greater. Yeah, I mean,
sacrificed a couple years of the NBA to go serve in the fucking military. Yeah.
Admiral, that's one of the calls.
Love
Admiral.
Dude, imagine that. Dude. We need more 7 foot one fucking general admirals.
Like,
you know
like
what I'm
the
saying?
Nicest guy you'd ever meet.
Oh yeah,
and he played with Dennis Rodman. That had to be an interesting locker room at times. They probably actually played together well because they didn't step on each other's toes.
I wonder
each other.
If it was kind of a thing where everybody was like, fucking Dennis, and David's like, hey.
Yeah.
David's a good guy. Let's leave him alone. Let him be himself, okay? That's probably what it was
I could see that. I could definitely see that.
Yeah, dude. David Robinson's like, hey, Dennis, I noticed you left your nail polish all over the fucking locker that got onto my fucking, my side. That's okay. I'm cool with that. I like, you know. But maybe next time, you know, is there any possible way we could keep your nail polish off of my locker? Not too much of an ask, I don't think. I think you're doing great. You're averaging 2 points a game, 12 rebounds.
12 rebounds.
Doing great. Love what you're doing. I think he played with the Spurs for like half a season. I don't even think he was there the whole year.
I know he went to the playoffs that year. His hair, he dyed his hair the Spurs
color.
That
was Well, that's when he started doing that shit, and then he went from there to the Bulls.
Love Dennis Rodman, though. One of my favorite players of all time.
When I was playing, he was my favorite because I was in high school, I was 5'11".
Yeah, anybody who was unathletic wanted to be Dennis Rodman. They wanted to be the rebounding, like, blocking out.
But it wasn't just about rebounding, it was about being nasty.
Yeah, talking trash.
Yes.
Like, getting in people's heads.
Dude,
psychological
warfare. You know how tall the guy I had to go up against practice? I had to go up against a 6'9" kid in practice every day. You know what I had to do? I was stronger than him, so I had to fucking, like, elbow him in the back. Like,
check his oil.
Do the Ric Flair.
Check his oil.
Fucking rack him from behind like that.
Yeah.
Fucking literally push him. I would literally just shove him in the lower back.
If the ref don't see it, it's not illegal, right?
Well, that's what our coach would tell me to do. He's like, listen, I want you to rough him up.
Hit him in his ribs.
And I was like, I can do that. And I remember one time I just clotheslined him, and he's like, yeah, we can't do that. I didn't do that. I'm just kidding. I did just forearm shiver him right in the lower back one time, and he went down, and it was not a good time because they thought I like was going to ruin him playing because he was one of our best players. I don't know what to do. I mean, you know, you go from football to basketball. It's a huge change up as far as conditioning goes.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to run up and down the court 6 times.
Yeah, fuck that. This is bullshit.
That's the easiest conditioning ever. How about conditioning that involves you getting hit or, you know, open field tackling while everybody watches you? That's nothing worse than that. Dude, Oklahoma drill, which I loved and it was fun. But, dude, it was also like.
We haven't got sued for that.
Like, oh, because it's an American fucking staple. It's a staple in our country's backbone. Yeah. What are you going to do? It happened.
Yeah.
Listen, I'm sick of this country trying to get rid of shit that happened because they don't like it. It happened.
Yeah.
And then just like, oh, it shouldn't have happened, so we're going to completely not act like it did.
That's where you separate the men from the boys right there. Oklahoma drill. Offensive lineman, defensive lineman, linebacker, running back. It's the ultimate test of, like, dude. That's where you learn how to stop a fucking 1 yard rush from the goal line and win, lose a game. That's where you do it right there.
Gut
like, it's a
on.
Split second decision. Do I go left or right? Where's this running back going to go? Because it's not like you know. You've got to choose.
Yeah. It's like he says, go this way.
And then if it's offensive and defensive linemen, there's nothing more. There's no more. I don't want to even say this because you fucking assholes. But it's literally the only way I can describe it. Whenever it's just one on one, offensive versus defensive lineman, intimate is the only word I can think of to describe it. But like, dude, imagine you're like, you're trying to put him on his back. He's trying to put you on your back. They're trying to fuck each other up. It is literally every play, and that right there, and it's just everybody's watching you.
Yeah,
and you don't want to be the guy that gets
circled.
You don't want to be the guy that gets blown up and get your running back killed. You don't want to be the guy that lets the running back blow through your linebacker. None of that, dude. It's the best drill ever. I did the drill all the time. People that get hurt during it, it's whatever. You know what? There was this one drill that we did, and I won't tell the coach to name it because he came up with it, and I can't believe they let him do it. Because he literally told us right before practice, I came up with this yesterday.
I want to know the name of the
drill. No, well, so I remember what? We did this one day and we never did it again.
Yeah.
So the drill was, so there's a guy with a ball.
I know where this is going.
He runs. There's a guy with a ball, and then there's a guy here. Uh-huh. The guy with the ball has to run and get through this defender. Yeah. The defender's running him. There's a guy behind the ball carrier that starts on his back, and he has to get up and chase after the ball carrier from behind. So basically what would happen every time is the ball carrier would get sandwiched in between the guy running at him from the behind. You know how many fucking kids got hurt that day because of that drill? Because it was literally like it was like, if you had to go 1,000, 2,000, 3,000, 1,000, then get up and run. But by the time he did that, you're already like getting stopped by the linebacker, so you're just getting slammed from behind. It did nothing. I don't even know what it did. Teach you how to get destroyed from the front and behind an open field. It did nothing.
He was trying to hurt somebody.
That's literally what one of the coaches said after, because that coach didn't last much longer after that.
Yeah, there was somebody he was getting at.
He was trying to hurt somebody. He said that about this drill hurts people. I'm like, that's not good. Hurting someone does not make them better at football. It was the dumbest drill ever. I remember watching it run a few times. I'm like, I got to do this. I got to run the ball. And he gets sandwiched between two guys running full speed at me. That's so stupid. Why are we doing this? It did nothing. It did nothing. Most of the time, if you got tackled right off the bat and you avoided getting sandwiched, you got off easy. If you were somehow able to stand up the guy running right at you, you're still getting away.
You're still getting away.
Just be like two guys like this, and then just boom.
Also, you're like focused on the guy in front of you, not the guy behind you.
A lot of guys would just drop down immediately because they didn't want to get fucking hit in the back and they get in trouble. Like, what the fuck? It was the dumbest drill I've ever seen. I wish we could reenact it. It would be a lot of fun. But, I remember I love tackling drills, and that was the stupidest shit I've ever done in my life. I wish I could say the coach's name, because I totally would like to. But I won't, out of respect. I'm just saying, you know who you are. That was the most retarded fucking football drill that's ever been made. If you would have done that in the 70s, they would have been like, this is... What are we doing here? This is football. Like, what is this? We're not sending these guys to Iraq. Like, what's wrong with that? Like, this is a problem. But anyway, I remember, I think I was at the last tail end of really brutal football methods at practice. I remember whenever they went from, it was the way it was. You could do 2-a-days. You could practice 3 times a day.
Yeah, we did 2-a-days, sure.
I remember whenever the OSSAA... 90 minutes of contact per day. How do you even do that in football? If practice is 2.5-3 hours, you can only have 90 minutes of contact. How do you even do that?
Wait, that's a rule now?
Oh, yeah. That was implemented my junior year of high school.
Do you think coaches might be like, hey, guys, I can't formally orchestrate this practice, but if you guys decide to go out and hit each other.
The old Tom Brady in the fucking park in COVID.
Whenever they first started implementing the rules, they had agents of the OSSAA out there watching practices all over the state to make sure that they were doing that. And what we would do is, because I remember, my sophomore year, we did fucking 2-a-days. We did fucking padded in the morning, dry fit in the evening. I remember the first time we did that drill I was just talking about was in the padded morning, and I was like, we got to come back and practice after this. And I remember we did that. We'd called it Hell Week. It was Monday through Friday, padded in the morning, dry fit at night, lift in the middle.
Dude,
it was horrible. And then we got to the point where we weren't allowed to do that anymore. They had to cut back a day from how much we were there during the summer. It was only 90 minutes of contact. Tackling drills, we hardly even did those anymore.
That's weird, yeah.
They got rid of a lot of what it... I mean, dude, you want to build... To play football... And I'm just being honest, because I played it my whole life. Like, you have to be mentally and physically tough.
Yeah.
You have to be pushed to places you're not comfortable going, because that's, you're going to be there. I played offensive and defensive line. There ain't nothing, there's not a position more on the team where every single game, every single play
yeah.
If you play offensive line, you might do 70 to 90 offensive plays in a game. That means every single play you're fucking punching.
That's all I think about.
Getting punched, like, just fighting someone every mm-hmm. single play. You have to be mentally tough more than anything.
That's what I'm saying.
So like, if you can't handle a coach screaming at you, making you do something over and over again, trying to pull the best out of you, unless you're just a God-given natural athlete that doesn't have to work for anything,
right.
For the most part, for guys like me and normal people, yeah, you've got to extract juice out of those guys, and if you don't like it, you don't have to play.
Yeah,
I don't know what the fuck I'm going on my Michael Jordan tangent for. I'm just like, you don't have to play. I'm just saying though, I guess it kind of goes back to when they cut back on like contact and all that stuff, and like kind of
not even give us water. Like,
yeah, you know, my dad used to say like in the 70s. He played in the 80s, and he's like, dude, water. You got water at the end of practice, and it was one of those things that shot water out from all sides.
Yeah.
It was one of those, a water cow is what they called them. And it was literally like a bunch of guys just huddle up and fucking stream is going right in their mouth. And I remember like, that was another thing that changed. They had to give us a water break every fucking like 15 minutes or whatever. They had to give us a 5-minute water break. So we got like 4 fucking practice. I don't know.
That's probably a decent rule, though.
Well, here's the thing. I went freshman, sophomore, most of junior year learning one way. You go from that. You're basically at that point. It's like being a Spartan. They put you in a fucking like a cooking class. You're like, I don't have to kill anything. Like, what are you talking about? Like, you know, you go from, like, I remember my offensive line coach, who's the best football coach I ever got to work with, and this one of the smartest football minds, no matter what level I ever got to deal with, Coach Raglan. I remember on Tuesdays, which was the worst practice of the week. It was our longest, most physical. That was terrible Tuesdays, what we called it. I remember one of the last things we did at practice, right before we went and did team drills, right before the end, was the offensive line had to go to the practice field, not the turf field. We had to go all the way over there. We had to jog over there and push the sled. 100 yards every touchdown the offensive coordinator wanted us to score.
Were the fat coaches on it, standing on it too?
Ernie. Mm-hmm. He's fucking 6'5", 350 pounds. He's a big guy. He would stand on that sled, and we had to push it 100 yards per touchdown the OC said he wanted. So if the offensive he would literally, in front of all of us, go up to Coach Whiteley and be like, all right, how many touchdowns do you want this week? I want 5. That's 500 yards right there. Mm-hmm. You're like, motherfucker. I remember the most he ever said he wanted 7 touchdowns. 7. We did 700 yards. First team had to push it 20 yards. And then we did first team O-line, second team, third team, tight ends, wide receivers. Because we made everybody that blocked to do it.
Mm-hmm.
But everybody after first team had to do it 10 yards. So it was 20, 10, 10, 10, 20, 10, 10. Until you hit 700. Dude, that was not fun. But at that point in the season, we were doing it, like, you know.
Right. You've been conditioned.
And let me tell you something right now. We scored 7 touchdowns that week.
Did you?
We played Stillwell, and we beat the fuck out of
them.
We beat them so bad that week that our seniors at second half got to call plays and coach. Like, our coaches didn't do shit. And it was the last game of the season. We were up 42-0 at halftime. And we won 49-0.
Did you put the JV in?
Okay. Our JV held them to 0 points the entire second half and scored a touchdown on them. We won 49-0. It was one of the funnest fucking. It was.
They never said it. The Stillwell Spartans. They're known for their strawberries.
Stillwell Indians.
Oh.
Stillwell Spartans.
That wouldn't go over today either.
I mean, they still are the Indians. Yeah, there's actually quite a few schools in Oklahoma that are the Indians. Sequoia, Catoosa.
What?
Sequoia.
Claremore Sequoia or Tahlequah?
Claremore Sequoia Eagles. Sequoia, Tahlequah Sequoia Indians. They are Indians.
Yeah, right? I was going to say it's a native school, isn't it?
Yeah, Catoosa. I don't know what the fuck they're called the Indians for.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about Catoosa.
Got them. You got fucking Stillwell. Mm. Who gives a fuck? Anyway, I think that's going to do it for us here tonight, everybody. Glad you could join us, Luke.
Yes.
Before we get going, we're about to start the NBA playoffs. The three of us here, we're all fortunate enough to make it. Jason will also be the fourth person in that. We'll be keeping up with that going forward.
Who do you guys got tonight?
Oh, I think tonight. Which games were tonight?
Lakers.
Lakers and Pelicans. Lakers and
the Warriors.
And then the Warriors and Kings play tonight.
Lakers Pelicans could be good.
Yeah. I picked the Lakers, I think. Lakers, yeah. And then I have the Kings beating the Warriors. I think Kings are going to get them back.
On this one. I thought the Warriors. I think
the Kings
win.
Will get them back for last year. The Warriors
the Kings just kind of fell off the end of the season.
25-12 and 12. Warriors 25-12.
Ooh.
Tomorrow, you guys got 76ers and Bulls.
Oh, 76ers.
Sixers.
I mean, with Embiid being back. If Embiid's
back, I think I got the Sixers.
And, I mean, they held it together. Plus, they held it together pretty good.
Trae Young cracks under pressure. He's always cracked under pressure.
Well, he's the only guy they got, really. He's
terrible. Yeah. He's not terrible.
He's a good offensive player.
Yeah, it's an Oklahoma boy right there.
I know. And I saw him play for Oklahoma.
I was a janitor at his little brother's middle school.
He brought him down. Because anytime there were big moments, he would just...
They don't have a fucking big guy to rely on.
But yeah,
to he rely had fucking on
Clint
insane.
Capella for a
yeah,
while.
Yeah, but then he fucking decides when
that's
he wants
20
to be
rebounds
good.
A game right there. 2 points.
He let off the gas. It seems like he lets off the gas when like
he runs out of gas.
Well, there you go.
He's fucking
dude. The guy's their main. Like he's their guy.
Yeah,
but he needs a good fucking whatever. But anyway, we're gonna be keeping up with that. This will probably be the last episode we do here from the Birch House. We will be. In the new studio probably next time. Maybe we'll get another one in before then. We're moving in the 27th, so, I mean, maybe we'll get one more in here. But in case it isn't, thank you guys for keeping up with us here so long. We've been through an apartment, and now we've been through here. We're about to move into our first, like, studio space. So thank you guys so much for keeping us from there. I know it's been super spotty the last month. There's just a lot of things happening. Promise that going forward we'll have a lot more content for y'all. Coming out but yeah, luckily, especially with having a studio where everything's always set up and it's always ready to go, it'll be much easier. But Trevor, you got anything to tell the people?
I'll probably have an It's Real to Mia coming out here tomorrow, the next day.
They gotta talk just about that Rhea Ripley injury.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff to talk
what
about.
What happened to Ripley?
Well, so apparently injured. She was attacked by that 5'2" woman. And she threw her into a wall, and she hurt her shoulder.
Oh,
and you can tell that she hit that fucking wall hard too. Yeah. But a lot of people,
new titles, a lot of big things going on. New members.
Did they
of the fucking
give
bloodline.
Cody? Are they doing a new title for Cody?
When do they do the draft?
I don't know if he's gonna get a new title or not.
My dad said he was, and I was like, why?
He could. I don't know.
He could.
What do you
know
think about the tag titles? Do you like them?
I like them. I think they look cool. So much better than what they were.
I thought the tag titles were pretty cool, too.
Much better than the red fucking belt. Yeah.
Yeah. Wait. And I imagine on SmackDown we're going to get new belts this weekend, too.
For sure. A couple of douchebags.
But, I mean, first of all, just three banger episodes to come off of fucking WrestleMania. I mean, to go off of that WrestleMania and then go Raw, SmackDown, Raw. I mean, all three shows have been great. So...
Triple H's era is
he's doing great.
Strong.
So we'll have a little review on that because there's been a lot of things happening in the past week and a half, a lot of big moves and shit. So yeah.
Okay, Luke, you got anything?
Nope. UFC 300 was awesome. Like
it was.
I'm excited for that. One of the sickest things I've seen in a while.
I'm a Gaethje fan. Since World Series of Fighting, he's been probably my favorite guy. All action guy, just comes out, throws to finish people. Max Holloway didn't have to do what he did. He's up the whole entire fight, mind you. Points to the baddest dude in the UFC. Says, "Come meet me in the middle." 10 seconds left. Home run KOs a guy, face plant.
Wow.
Probably
I think there was 2 seconds left on the clock, wasn't there? And he knocked him out.
It was 1 second. 1 second. 4:59 in the fifth round.
Wow. No, that was, dude. I've never seen, I, dude, that.
Moved up in weight from 145 to 155.
He knew he was going to knock his ass out, too. That's
dude, Max
that's
Holloway
incredible.
Is an animal.
No, I, that was, I am going to be keep, I, that right He's there blessed. Made me. That definitely made me keep, I'm, like, I remember watching Sean O'Malley the first time I watched him fight, I'm a really big fan of him because I've never seen anybody quite like him.
Sean's a great fighter.
And I think we'll look back and be like, he's one of the best fighters of his generation for sure.
He's starting to make a case for himself.
But like,
just the fact they beat Aljo Sterling. Aljo Sterling dominated his fight this week.
And also, one thing, a lot of people say that last fight he did where he fought the guy that he lost to earlier in his career. I think that's actually a good thing for him to do is like, I've look how I've come as how yeah. far I've come as a fighter. I can go back and beat guys that beat me when I was earlier, and look how far I've come. And now he's like, it's kind of like him doing that. It's hard to dispute him as a champion. You know what
he's
I mean?
Got, he's got a tough fight coming up. His next title fight, Merab Dvalishvili.
Yeah.
It's gonna be a big one. And then Nurmagomedov, the cousin Umar, is in the wings. If he gets back, Sandhagen.
I love the Dagestanis. A lot of people don't like them.
They're ridiculously good at what they
love
do.
Love them.
Yeah,
I love them.
And Umar is like got the wrestling, but he can kick. He can punch. He's all around good fighter.
Oh man. Okay, listen, before we make this into a UFC podcast, we got to wrap this up.
McGregor, though, I'm pretty excited about.
Oh, McGregor's coming back. Yeah,
finally. First of all, he better get off the blow if he's going to come and fight the UFC.
They're making it 170.
He's got to be off it now.
I'm telling you right now, he's
I think he's going
to
lose.
I don't have high hopes for him
McGregor
fighting
to come back to, because
I don't
Mike
know how
Chandler,
you when you become a billionaire, you don't have the same hunger you had when you started fighting at the beginning.
That seems to be an issue with him for
also,
sure.
Yeah, because how do you get up? Like, yeah, you can sell a fight against anybody, but it's actually getting in there and beating somebody that has, because anybody that fights him from this point forward wants to be able to say they beat him.
That's it.
And they're going to be more hungry to win the fight than he is.
And
he's going to be all about
way
making
more
money
because you're on a big paper. View
base, and all he cares point, about is winning right. money. He's not the same fighter he was when he's like a poor bloke out of fucking Ireland. Like, it's just, it's not the same.
There's no need.
I honestly
his
don't.
Family's taken care of, right?
I mean, the way that I look at it, I mean, think about it. How many fights has he won in the last 6 years?
Oh, man.
He's won one fight.
Yeah.
Cowboy Cerrone, that shoulder fucking lot hitty.
When he first came back.
That was the only one he's won since that I can remember. He's lost to Dustin Poirier twice. Mm-hmm. He lost to Khabib, which he never should have taken that fight. Mm-hmm. Never should have taken that fight, and I will say that till the end of time. He never should have taken that fight. It was a mistake. Biggest mistake he ever made.
He wasn't winning that fight ever.
No.
In any circumstance.
I don't give a fuck. I don't care what he did. Like, first of all, Khabib is probably... As far as I'm concerned,
he's my number three.
At his weight class, he's the best ever.
Yeah. Oh, man. BJ Penn was really good.
I'd love to see them fight. I'd love to see him fight, and I'd love to see him do things that BJ Penny's never seen before.
Frankie Edgar was pretty good.
Frankie Edgar was good. I just, like, first of all, he's undefeated. Second of all,
yeah,
I've never seen anyone dominate.
No, you're right. Habib's the best at like, 155 class.
Oh, dude. I mean, it's
Islam's making a case, though. If
yes. Well, that's what I was going to say.
Yeah.
But... he was just... I've never seen someone dominate. Like, because with him, it's kind of like Jokic.
Yes.
Dominating without discretion.
Yeah.
I don't care who you are. There's no such thing as hype in my world. I'm a destroyer. I don't care what you're talking. I don't care what you do. I don't care what you've done.
He
uses
that kind of confidence, yeah.
Yes, absolutely. It's literally that confidence of, I don't... It's almost like somebody that doesn't know what's going on in the news.
Yeah, it's like...
Because all he's doing is training and fighting. He's not, like, he doesn't care. He's like
paying attention,
It reminds
like
me of...
Like Ivan Drago.
Yeah.
It's Ivan Drago.
Yeah.
Everyone, like, he's one of the greatest villains in movies because,
Send
like...
Send me location.
Like, that's one of the best wins America's ever had is whenever Rocky beat Ivan Drago because, like, he literally should have been unbeatable. He should have been unbeatable. If you look at what he was punching, what he was throwing, like, come on, man. I think, as far as the best ever I've ever watched in the UFC, and we'll end it on this, and we can, you know, I think GSP is the best I've ever seen overall. As far as a guy that if he wanted you on the ground, you're going to the ground. 73% takedown rating, 26-2.
He's in my top five, but I think Jones is number one.
I would say John Jones for me, honestly.
Dude, here's the thing. Yes, he's as far if I'm not taking everything into consideration.
Are you putting in Perry Bonds asterisks?
No, not asterisks. I do take it into consideration, though, because I think he hurt himself a lot during his prime with all the bullshit.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. No. I mean, if he didn't have any of that, it wouldn't be... You'd be like,
no.
You can't say anything.
Yeah, as far as, like... I don't know. I would love to see him go up against a guy of GSP's caliber, though.
This guy, Alex Pereira, the Brazilian... Two division champ.
John Jones going up to heavyweight and beating Ciryl Gane the way he did.
Wouldn't even in question.
And I mean, it was just
dominance from Bill.
I would like to see him go against Ngannou.
I wish we could have got John Jones at heavyweight versus Brock Lesnar.
That would have been amazing.
God
John
damn.
Jones versus Fader. Like, you know, when they if you know, if it was Prime versus Prime, that would be an amazing fight.
You know, and this might be a hot take. Look at what Brock Lesnar did, not taking the UFC, not being the number one thing in his life.
Yeah, I know.
And look how good he did. Imagine if he would have dedicated his life. That's all he would have
trained. Yeah.
Yeah, he'd have been really good.
It's inconceivable to me that he could lose to anybody. Like, if you ever put him in a fight against somebody, I would take Brock Lesnar to win. There's not really anybody on this earth that I would take that in a fight, in just a straight up fight over him.
Him and Caleb Harrison, you have a baby. It'd be like a super soldier.
Besides, maybe Cain Velasquez.
That guy will kill you.
He'd kill you.
But
in the ring.
He's also just a killer.
Yeah, he'd just kill you literally. In the ring. Literally. Yeah.
Literally.
Hey, he had a good right. Yeah, he had a good reason to do it.
He had a good reason. Let a free Cain Velasquez. I don't know if he's free.
The guy should be free.
But anyway, guys, thank you so much for listening to the War Room. Maybe we'll do a UFC episode soon for the next pay per view. But thank you guys for listening. Thank you, Luke, for coming on.
Awesome.
Trevor, thank you for coming out. Jared, thank you for being a great host. You're the best host. Thank you guys so much. We love you. Buy a t-shirt. Goodbye.
Good night.